today is the 2nd of March. Feels more like January to me. Because anyway, reached the broadcast for the evening service at the Weatherby House Church. And we made an announcement this morning, or I did, regarding Wednesday, that Michael Donahue was going to be a guest on our program, and he is not going to be able to make it. I got an email from him, and we need to remember him in our prayers. I don't know how many of our listening audience is aware of the fact that he has been very sick. He is fighting cancer, and so he's in a battle. We also need to remember Richard Bennett in prayer. Richard has been very, very ill as well. I was planning a trip down to Texas to see him, to meet him for the first time. I've listened to him for years, but he became very ill. He's doing some better, but we need to remember him in prayer. Do we have a selection? Okay, well, let's start by singing number 242, one of William Cowper's songs. Rarely can you go wrong with Mr. Cowper. He believed in the sovereignty of God. Almighty, whose wondrous hand supports the way of sea and land, whose grace is such a boundless store, no heart shall break that sighs for more. Thy providence supplies my food, and tis thy blessing makes it good. My soul is nourished by thy word, let soul and body praise the Lord. My streams of outward comfort came from him who built this earthly frame. Whate'er I want, his bounty is, I knew my soul forever lives. Either his hand preserves from pain, or if I feel it heals again. From Satan's malice shields my breast, or overrules it for the rest. Forgive the song that falls so low beneath the gratitude I owe. It means thy grace, however poor, an angel's song can do no more. Heal me by thy mighty power, Lord, I pray from day to day. I am weak and pain me bows, all my strength along the way. Hold me by thy mighty arm, when the way is dark and drear. Always keep me safe from harm, make me know that thou art near. Save me from the tempter's power, help me all my burdens bear. Keep me in thy love each hour, safe from evil everywhere. Make me thankful for thy grace, keep me humble in thy sight. Guide me by the Holy Spirit, lead me safely by thy might. Clothe me with thy righteousness, when my toils and cares molest. Help me, Lord, to do my best, if my soul is long for rest. Show me, Lord, thy smiling face. When my life on earth is o'er, all the pains and tears erase, by thy presence bless me, Lord.
Page 40, Psalm 72a has been selected. Page 40, Psalm 72a.
O God, thy judge is reigning, Son of righteousness. Me to thy people right shall bring, with justice shall thy poor redress. The heights shall bring prosperity, the hills bring peace by righteousness. You'll judge the poor, the wrong set free, and crush the men who them oppress. Till sun and moon no more are known, there shall be fear in ages all. You'll come as rain on meadows mown, and showers upon the earth that fall. The just shall flourish in his day, all as the moon shall peace extend. From sea to sea shall be his way, and from the rivers to worsens.
Lord, we come before you again tonight. We ask that you would remember our requests that we mentioned earlier. We pray that you would remember Richard Bennett and his family tonight as he struggles with his illness. And we also pray that you would remember Michael Donahue and his illness. We ask that you would comfort both of these believers. We ask that you will lead and guide and direct us in your word tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Second epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Thessalonians, are writing this when they are at Corinth. And Paul here is testifying to the Thessalonians of his faith and love and patience and comforting them against the persecution by considering the righteous judgment of God. We're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, when we go through tribulation today, my question is, when we go through tribulation today, should we take the same approach that Paul and Silas and Timothy took? In other words, would you go around comforting the church today against persecution that you're going through by considering the righteous judgment of God? I don't see anything wrong with that. But there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they don't want to talk about the judgments of God. That's why that we don't hear anything much today about the precatory songs and precatory songs. Right? We only want to hear about the love thing. Now, notice here that Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to give thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgments of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Don't hear that today. This is the New Testament church we're talking about here. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the New Testament church, saying that it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. That gives me comfort to know that God is going to recompense tribulation to those people that are troubling me. Can you say that as a Christian? Can you say that you're glad over the fact that God is going to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you? That's what Paul said. And it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when God is going to take vengeance on them in flaming fire that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be punished? Notice here it doesn't say shall be punished by separation from God, like Billy Graham says. That's not what it says. It says who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting destruction, not temporary. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've already done a number of messages on the second chapter of Thessalonians regarding the man that opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. I'm not going to get into that tonight. What I wanted to really focus on, though, is this verse 6, which says, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, I want to go back to the book of Jude, and in the book of Jude, in the 15th verse, it says, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Well, you know, God is going to judge those who come against his people. And, you know, there's comfort in knowing that the judgment of his God is going to come against all these people that have come against God's people. He's going to come against them. He's going to be vindicated. His righteousness is going to be vindicated. And these people out there that are trying to deny that God is a God of wrath and a God of judgment, there's many passages that talk about it. And so that, you know, when we start talking about the fact that it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation and then to trouble you, and people start saying that's not right. You know, well, it's right for God to do that. Now, it's not right for us to do it. You know, the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says, taking vengeance upon them. You might say, well, that's not fair. Well, if they're going to mock God, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why do they come against God and against his anointed? Why do they mock him? Remember what happened to the children that mocked Elijah? And they said, go down, O bald head. What happened to him? God took vengeance upon him. That's what happened. Now, I want to go back to Romans 2. It says, it's talking here to those who have been, you know, mocking God and his people. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. It says, verse 8, but unto them that are contentious and not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. That's what it says. People deny these kind of passages today. They deny them. I'm giving them to you. I'm just reading you the Bible. Let's go back to 1 Peter 3:7. What does Peter say about this? He says, God's people, he tells us that we are to be, let's go back to verse 8, finally be ye all one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, and so on, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are there unto called, and you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and the ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Oh, God loves everybody. God's not gonna turn against anybody. He loves everybody. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. And if you're gonna teach something, you better teach the whole counsel of God. You better teach the whole counsel of God. Okay, eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He also says back in the second chapter there of Peter, beginning with, see, I want you to notice the contrast between the believers and the unbelievers. Verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. There is a judgment coming on all those who obey not the gospel. That is the whole counsel of God that we're saying tonight. You know, if a person is mocking God and they are making a mockery out of the blood of Christ, they're denying the virgin birth, if they are denying the sovereign work of God in salvation, and if they are bringing in all kind of filth into the church, God is, let's go back to the second chapter of Psalms, he says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, notice here that he's saying they're not just taking, they're just not setting themselves against Christ, but they're also setting themselves against Christ and his anointed. That's us. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Well, go back to Psalm, the 89th chapter of Psalms, and he continues down the same vein. And you might be saying, well, why are you spending so much time on this? Because we don't hear it. We just don't hear it taught. We hear that, you know, God loves everybody, and regardless of what they believe, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. It matters a lot. It matters a lot. He says, verse 23 of chapter 89, I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Well, you say, well, that was the Old Testament. No, we just read a passage out of the New Testament. Paul's teaching here what God is going to do to those who come against his anointed and against him. And now let's go back to Revelation. I want to look at the passage there. And, need I remind you that Revelation is in the New Testament? Okay. Say, Larry, what are you preaching hate? No, I'm not preaching hate. I'm preaching the Bible. I'm preaching the fact that God is angry with the wicked every day. And he says in the second verse of second chapter, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That's what we're talking about when these people are preaching false doctrine and deceiving all of these people out here. Not going by the Bible, changing the Bible. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Well, you know what? Do you ever feel like you're just about ready to faint because you're just so worn out contending for the faith? Well, God is going to bring about judgment on these people. Their judgment is coming, and they are going to be standing before God one of these days, and God is going to say, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity." No. That's what is going to happen. That is the end result of what is going to happen. Now people say, "Well, I don't believe that Book of Revelation is literal." Well, you can say that what part of it is not literal? Are you denying the Word of God? You know? It says here in the 15th chapter of Revelation, says, verse 1, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And he says, verse 6, and the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, precious stone, pure bright, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven gold vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temples were filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were filled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And they first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And then we here have a declaration of these seven plagues here in this 16th chapter. You know? And why were these plagues poured out on them? Well, he says in the 6th verse, they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. In other words, they're being judged because they have shed the blood of the saints. I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto them to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. Notice they repented not to give him glory. Fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven, because of their pain and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Well, now, this is not symbolic. This is going to happen, people. You can say it's just all symbolic. No, it's not. These seven wrath of God are going to be poured out. I believe that it, you know, when it says in verse 21 there that their fellow fallen men great hail out of heaven, I believe that's what it means. I believe that there's going to be great hail falling out of heaven. I don't think that's just spiritual or symbolic. And it says here that they blasphemed God because of the plagues that was coming on them. Well, you know, it should comfort the believer to know that these people who have so persecuted the church for years and years and years and have deceived, tried to deceive God's elect. It's impossible to deceive God's elect by lying to them, teaching them the Arminian doctrine, by the Roman Catholic Church persecuting God's people. And that they are going to reap the judgments of God. And when it talks about Babylon falling, we talked about this before, Babylon is representative of everything that goes against God and His kingdom. That's what it is. And it says in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled. Fill to her double. Wow. Now what is God's judgment going to be on these people? Well, here's what it's going to be. It says in verse 8, her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. I've heard people say, oh, there aren't going to be any famines. Well, that's what it says. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her, and so on. We're talking tonight about God's vengeance upon those who have come against His saints and against Him. That's what we're talking about. So, why would Paul again say, you know, I remember hearing a minister one time talk about the fact that he, and I'm not going to mention who it was. This particular minister said, we should be rejoicing in the fact that God is going to take vengeance upon those who have come against His people. And I thought, wow, is that? Because I'd never, you know, I've always heard something differently than that. I'd always been taught differently than that. But we should have a righteous indignation against those who come against God and His kingdom. We should have a righteous indignation against those who come against God and His kingdom. And so says, again, Second Epistle of Paul to Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 16, it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Wow. He is going in flaming fire to take vengeance upon them. And they are going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's what he says. That's him. You say, well, isn't that awful harsh? Shouldn't he be more long-suffering? Look, God has been long-suffering. Look how long he's waited to do anything. Now I want to go back to 2 Peter. You know, there is a certainty of Christ's coming judgment. He has warned the ungodly in his word and through his ministers down through the centuries and through his prophets. God has been long-suffering. You know, there's even a scripture that says his long-suffering may lead you to repentance. But the day of the Lord is coming, folks, and his vengeance is going to be poured out. It says, verse 2 of chapter 3, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens of the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The same thing that happened back in the day of Noah, he says, the same word is kept in store against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men for this last times. He says, Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But now he says, for those who he has described earlier as being scoffers, and that he has described as being people walking after their own lusts, and those who he has described as being ignorant, willingly ignorant of the Word of God, something's going to happen to them. It says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. People talk about, like Van Empty, that the earth's going to be here forever. No. It says here that the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Well, notice in verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. no sin there. People talk about the millennium, there's still going to be unbelievers and sin there on that earth. No. This earth is going to be burnt up, and it says, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Okay? Now, he also says that there's many, many passages we could go to, but I want to conclude this tonight with in Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, he says, verse 3 of the 9th chapter of Jeremiah, they bend their tongues like their bows for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. That's so true today, isn't it? And they will deceive everyone and his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Though deceit they refuse to know me, saith, through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Verse 13, and the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither have walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them the water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Well, God is a God of judgment. And that's just all, you know, we cannot deny that. We see that the times that we're living in, we have, through the Word of God, have adequately described what's going on in our culture. And then you have people up saying we should be culturally relevant in this devilish culture we're living in. And how can we be culturally relevant, for crying out loud? Now let's go back to the 7th chapter. I was alluding to this earlier, Psalms. It says, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust, and save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there be any iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto them that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it, yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awaken for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their sakes, therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to thy righteousness. according to my integrity that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So tonight we have talked about the judgment of God that's forthcoming on this wicked, evil world, and against the enemies of Christ and his elect. Do we have a selection? Okay, let's page 60, 135, Psalm 135. Hallelujah, praise the Lord's name. Praise you, servants of the Lord. Ye that in the Lord's house serve, ye God's courtyard standing guard. Praise the Lord, how good the Lord is. Sing his name, how sweet his sound. For the Lord has chosen Jacob, Israel, to be his own. Well, I know how great the Lord is. Our Lord is above all gods. For the Lord does what he pleases in all heaven, earth, deeps, and floods. He it is who lifts the vapors from the ends of earth and seas, who with lightning brings the rains down from the store, the wind sets free. To all of Egypt's firstborn, on you Egypt's wonders sent. Sighed you Pharaoh and his servants, who killed kings, their kingdoms rent. Mighty Sion, Og of Basin, then the kings of Canaan fell. God their land gave to his people, will it all to Israel. Going to try to find a song here.
Psalm 139A.
What page?
Page 61.
61. We'll say we'll conclude with 139A.
Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known my rising and my sitting down, and from afar thou knowest well the very thoughts that in thou knowest all the ways I plan, my path and lying down the scan. For in my tongue no word can be, but lo, Lord, 'tis known to me. Behind me, for me, thou dost stand, and lay on me thy mighty hand.
bones.
And high beyond my utmost range, who shall I from thy spirit flee, or from thy presence hidden be? In heaven thou art, if there I fly, in earth's abode, if there I lie.
Lord, we pray that you would be with us this week. Help us to be comforted in knowing that those who come against you and your people one day will be brought down. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for counting us your people. We love you, God. God the Father. Amen.